So when they were very young, I think they used to think I was the worst mom in the world because I was teaching them independence. They still say it, but whenever they got sick, I would say, okay, medication time, and we are going to go about our business. In my heart of hearts, I was always burning up in there, but I had to encourage them that they can put one foot in front of the other and move on. And both of them had to learn at a young age that they are the commander of their own ship.
Welcome to Health Hats, empowering people as they travel together toward best health. I'm Danny Van Leeuwen, a two-legged, cisgender, old white man of privilege, living in a food oasis who can afford many hats and knows a little bit about a lot of healthcare and a lot about very little. Most people wear hats one at a time, but I wear them all at once. We will listen and learn about what it takes to adjust to life's realities in healthcare's Tower of Babel. Let's make some sense of all of this.
Good morning. It's about 6 a.m. and I'm out riding my trike, and I'm doing an experiment here just using my earbuds and my iPhone. And I'm thinking about the podcast that I'm producing this week, which will follow in a moment. It's the interview with Isosa. It's a very interesting interview. It's very sobering. What's sobering about the interview to me are several things. One is the challenges of health equity. It's amazing how difficult, it's just the baseline difficulty of having sickle cell and supporting two daughters with sickle cell. Having the added burden of bias and lack of appreciation of, as Isosa will say, listening, the lack of listening that can happen. And I wonder if whether the lack of listening is bias or whether the lack of listening is just habit. Listening isn't easy. It isn't easy for me. I also found really interesting in the interview was how Isosa set Fatima up for advocacy early on, and how much advocacy Fatima just had because that's just the way she is. She's an outspoken, assertive person. But it seems like that her mother put her in the situation of understanding herself. What kind of pain do you have? Is it pain that is uncomfortable? Is it pain that'll keep you home? Is it pain that needs medicine? Is it pain that you need to go to the hospital? Being an advocate requires self-awareness and expression, the ability to express yourself. One of the things that I'm learning doing these interviews with young adults and a parent with complex medical conditions is that there's a time where all they can really do is manage the moment. And then there's time, a little bit of time, for preparing for the next moment. and even less time for self-advocacy, and a tiny bit of time to think about advocacy for others. And naturally, those times, those amounts of time, vary depending on the ebb and flow of symptoms in life. But it seems like those things are in everybody's mind. Well, it's a lot harder to ride my trike and talk on a iPhone than I thought. So here's the episode. Enjoy.
I'm on the phone with Esosa Igle, who is the mother of a dear friend of mine. And we're going to talk a little bit about Fatima and her sickle cell and how she managed, how they managed together over the years. So, Esosa, can I call you Esosa?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay, great. So, can you tell me a little bit about yourself, where you live, and what you do?
Okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Esosa Igile, and I'm a tax analyst for the TGS Companies, Inc. First of all, I'm a mother of five and a wife, and I have five children, two girls and three boys. Fatima is my second daughter. My oldest daughter is Juma. And both of my daughters happen to have sickle cell anemia, which we have dealt with for about 30 years.
Wow. Let me just ask a couple of questions about yourself. Where were you when you first realized that health was fragile?
I thought the sky was my limit, that I could do anything. But with health, then you realize that some things you can't fix. So I thought I was a fixer-upper, fixing everything for everyone. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Now that you've had these years of managing not only your daughter's health, but other family members, what does being healthy look like to you?
I think being healthy is everything. I know there's a parable that says health is wealth. So when you have your wealth, your health, you are the wealthiest person in the world. But without your health, everything else kind of falls behind.
Yeah. Yeah. As you know, Fatima and I have talked many times over the past few years about her challenges with sickle cell. Over that time, I've really grown to know and appreciate her self-confidence and her assertiveness for herself. And I'm sure you've been key to that. So when she was a child, you were her advocate, you were her organizer, you were her support system. So when did you first start thinking about her being an independent person as she started to, she was no longer completely a child and started becoming aware that she had something and it was a drag and it was interfering with her life? And so at that point, you're taking care of her and you're managing everything that's associated. But then there comes a point where she starts thinking about her own independence and her own abilities and what she wants in her life. How did that begin?
I think what I did with my girls, especially, is that they I think, naturally have self-esteem and they are self-confident. So when they were very young, I think they used to think I was the worst mom in the world because I was teaching them independence. They still say it, but whenever they got sick, I would say, okay, medication time, and we are going to go about our business. In my heart of hearts, I was always burning up in there, but I had to encourage them that they can put one foot in front of the other and move on. Mm-hmm. And both of them had to learn at a young age that they are the commander of their own ship. Mm-hmm. So basically, even when they were teens, I used to talk to them about their disease, and also with the doctors, I would let them give their own opinion of what is going on. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember one time Fatima had gallstones that needed to be removed at the age of 12, I think.
Mm-hmm. A gallstone?
Gallstones.
Oh, yeah? And
we went to the doctor 3 or 4 times, the hematologist uncle, because her hematologist was a way out of the country. Mm. So this particular doctor would touch her and say, oh, sickle cell crisis, take medication. She would look at him and say, I don't get sickle crisis on my stomach. Mm. This is not a crisis. I know there's something else wrong. Mm-hmm. We went 3 times. By the 4th time, her regular hematologist was back. All she had to do was touch it and go, oh, no, gallstones. Mm. You know, but Fatima kept telling this other doctor that, no, I don't get sickle cell crises in my stomach. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't listening. So that's another problem with this disease. Mm-hmm. Because people who are treating my children and other kids with sickle cell anemia are not in tune. Mm-hmm. With the experiences of the patients. But she knew right when she was a teenager, mm-hmm. that she needed to be an advocate for herself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a story. Mm-hmm. So this is, you're telling about when she was in high school?
Yes.
Okay, so, and she got her care in Framingham and Worcester?
Yes.
Okay. And then she decided to go to the University of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, she did.
And so that must have been a challenge for you.
Yeah, I fought her. I fought her all the way to the end.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I did. Yeah, but she won the fight, so.
Yeah, I guess.
Yes.
And so, and you, it was concerning to you because?
It was too far away from home, and as a mom, I thought I had all the control. I'm the only person that could help her, you know.
Yeah.
But it took her hematologist convincing me to let her go and just let everything go, that she would be fine. So then I did.
Yeah. What happened, like, the first time when she was away from home and she had a crisis?
Oh, I had 4 other kids to take care of, so I couldn't run to her. So that was terrible.
Yeah.
You know, but I kept monitoring her over the phone. Mm-hmm. And I had the high hematologist in Pittsburgh. I actually met him a couple of years ago, but for years, I would speak to him or the nurse practitioner.
Oh, I see.
Yes. So I would be getting updates on what was going on.
So you established a relationship before she went?
Yes, I did.
Ah, I see. Wow. I can imagine. Oh, goodness. What were the challenges that you saw her having long distance?
Yeah, with long distance and being a typical college student, mm-hmm. it was difficult because physical stress is another thing that can bring on sickle cell crises. Mm-hmm. So she used to run to catch the bus. Anyone who knows my Fatima, mm-hmm. she doesn't keep to time. So knows that she's not very good with keeping to time. So she will be running. Mm-hmm. And the bus will be moving. So she's running to catch the bus. A couple mm-hmm. of days later, too much stress will land her in the hospital.
Yeah.
But she was good at managing it at home first mm-hmm. before going in. But just the fact that when she was there, I felt like she was alone. Mm-hmm. That was very hard.
Yes. And I mean, it seems like she established a good support system in Pittsburgh,
yeah,
both medical and friends. And
Yes, she did. Yes,
yeah.
She did. She actually has a mom in Pittsburgh that I call her mom.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
See the show notes or my website, www.health-hats.com, for more information or to subscribe or contribute. If you like it, share it. Thanks. Like, one of the things that Fatima and I have talked about since she moved is challenges with, you know, going to the emergency department into a strange community and having difficulty getting the treatment that she needed because they saw a woman of color who they thought was drug seeking.
Yeah, we've had that all their lives. Yeah.
And so is that something you had to deal with all along?
Yes, I have had to deal with that all along. It was so bad that a few years ago, she went to Nigeria to do research on sickle cell anemia. And my daughter, being who she is, picked up a stomach ulcer from Nigeria.
Oh, no.
So every time she went to UMass Medical, I'm going to name them because they have done so much harm to my family. So every time she went to UMass Medical, they'll say it's a sickle cell crisis, and they'll keep giving her medication. She'll be there a week, then she'll come home and start throwing up. 2 days later, she's back. So after the third time, it took a resident who was from a foreign country, taking me out of Fatima's room into the lounge. And he says, talk to me. I said, all her life, they've told me she cannot get addicted to pain medication. But the stuff I'm seeing every time she's released seems like a drug addiction. Like, so what is this? I talked to him and he goes, oh my goodness, we might be treating her for the wrong symptoms. So they looked deeper and found out that she had picked up a stomach ulcer. It wasn't sickle cell crisis. So because they were using pain management to treat something that was not sickle cell crisis, she was getting into a problem with the medications.
I see.
Yeah, so.
So this is a different angle than I was familiar with. Like, she's talked to me about not being able to get pain relief for a sickle cell crisis. You're talking about
over medicating. That was in Worcester, but in other states, so after that she got a yellow card, they call it, from her regular hematologist.
Yes.
So whenever she goes to the emergency room in Worcester, she could flash that card and they'll know the treatment plan.
Oh.
But with other states, especially in the South, they have no idea how to treat her pain symptoms. So when she says she's in pain, all they see, like you said, is a black woman, and all they see is seeking pain medicine. And she stood her ground a few times, but I have gotten so angry at sometimes that they were going to kill my daughter for me just because they have some of them stand on their moral high grounds.
Yeah.
Especially when she's pregnant. Oh, you're pregnant. You're not supposed to take this. But she always has a smart comment for them. Would you rather I die? You know, so, but it's been difficult going around the country. I wish you stayed here in Massachusetts, but.
Yeah. So when you talked about the gallbladder and you talked about the ulcer, so sometimes it's, you know, I have multiple sclerosis, and my family doctor says to me, well, you know, you may have multiple sclerosis and all the issues associated with that, but you're still a 65-year-old white man with white man problems. Seems that somebody with complex issues like sickle cell, they still have normal person issues.
Yeah, Yeah, they could get the flu, they could get a stomach ulcer, they could
I
get
see.
Anything else. But the first assumption from most doctors is to think it's sickle cell crisis.
Mm.
Yeah, so.
And then miss what's the underlying. Miss.
Yes.
If you were queen for a day and you could make a couple of changes to the medical system so that your journey with Fatima and with your daughters could have been easier, what would you like to see different?
What I would like to see are doctors who have compassion mm-hmm. and doctors who are good listeners. I wish doctors would listen more to patients rather than coming to conclusions without the patient's input.
Mm-hmm.
Because whoever is standing in front of a doctor knows their body better than the doctor. So if they would just listen, good listeners always yeah. come to good conclusions.
Yeah. So being a parent of children with sickle cell is very draining. And so how have you managed to maintain your own health while you're dealing with all this?
Oh, I'm a God-fearing person, and I believe that God always takes care of his own.
Mm-hmm.
So I've tried to do that. Are there challenges? Of course there are, because it can be fatiguing.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't only impact the patients. It impacts their brothers. Mm-hmm. It impacts my husband. It impacts me.
Mm-hmm.
But I know they are the ones who feel the pain, but we feel the pain for them. And it disrupts life.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you are stuck in the hospital, you then start to decide, where should I be today? Be with the one in the hospital or be at home cooking dinner for the others?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very hard thing, but you have to keep looking forward and hopefully good things come.
Yeah.
Like my grandchildren.
How many grandchildren do you have?
I have two of them from Fatima.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. I have two also.
And oh, good.
It's heaven.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
I don't get to see them enough, but I love just video chatting with them.
Yes.
And just seeing that Fatima was able to go through all the challenges of life and have those two kids. They are the yeah. joy of my life.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
What should I have asked you that I haven't asked you?
Maybe it's medical coverage.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Medical coverage, yes.
Yes, that is something that's, you know, prior to Obamacare, every time Fatima is enrolled in school or Juma, my daughter, is not enrolled in school, then I have to go into a panic mode. How are they going to get medical coverage?
Yeah.
Because now, thanks to Obamacare, they had coverage through me until they were 26 years old,
mm-hmm.
even if they are not in school.
Right.
Because with them, they can't be in school every semester. If you miss half of the semester, then you have to withdraw. So
right.
I hope this is a conversation we have in this country about medical coverage, and know that it's a necessity. And it's also a right for us all American citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for talking to me.
No problem.
What I'm going to do is next week I'm going to talk to Fatima.
Okay.
And then I understand you're headed to Nigeria?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
And maybe when you get back, we could arrange a call for the three of us together.
Okay.
I would appreciate that.
No problem. We'll do that.
Well,
yeah.
I'll never forget your hospitality to us at Fatima's wedding. That was a lifetime experience.
Thank you for so much for coming, and thank you for being a mentor to Fatima.
Yeah, my pleasure.
I really appreciate you and your wife.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
No
well, have a good evening.
Thank you. You have a nice weekend.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So much said in a short time. Learning to be commander of their own ship at a young age, challenges as a young woman of color, don't come to conclusions without listening, the whole family feels it, medical coverage is a right. I'm blessed to know this family. Next week, we'll hear from Fatima, Fatima, and Isosa together. Follow my blog, podcasts, and resources through my website. See you around the block.
It's really fun being able to experiment with this art form of podcasting. Seems like, unlike just writing something, there's many different ways you can do it. You can speak off the cuff or off the bike, a trike, as I'm doing now. You can write a script and read it. You can interview people. You can record sounds. You can use music. It's pretty cool.